the children are making their way back down. And then we'll have our Christmas jumper competition at the end, and then we'll close with our final hymn. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Christmas in the Old Testament. So far, we've looked at the Old Testament, the seed of Christmas, where we saw the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. We looked at the Lamb of Christmas, and we saw how Christ was the Lamb on the mountain with the sacrifice of Isaac and with Abraham. We looked at how Christ was the Lamb in the Passover, and how he was the prophesied Lamb in the book of Isaiah. And then last time we looked at the place of Christmas and the importance of Bethlehem, how Rachel was buried at Bethlehem, and the names given to Benjamin, Benoni, the son of sorrow, and Benjamin, the son of my right hand, and how that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but, you know, victoriously sits on the right hand of God. We saw how David was anointed at Bethlehem. So we saw how Bethlehem was a picture of death. We saw how Bethlehem was a picture of marriage. Ruth and Boaz were married. That was a picture of marriage. David was anointed there. That was a picture of reigning. So Bethlehem was the perfect place for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born. And this morning, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And we're going to look at the names of Christmas, the names of Christmas. And Isaiah 9:6, and we had it quoted last night, and we've probably, you had it quoted so many times over our different, the years of Christmases. And Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And I love looking at the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I was listening to Pastor Mark preaching on Sunday, and after New London's cantata and Pastor Mark preaching, he did the names of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and how in Genesis he was the seed of the woman, and in Exodus the Passover lamb, in Leviticus the high priest, in Numbers the cloud and the fire, in Deuteronomy the prophet like Moses, in Joshua the captain of our salvation, in Judges the judge and lawgiver, in Ruth the kinsman redeemer, in 1st and 2nd Samuel the prophet of the Lord, in 1st and 2nd Kings the reigning one, in 1st and 2nd Chronicles the glorious temple, in Ezra the faithful scribe, in Nehemiah the rebuilder of the walls, in Esther he's pictured in Mordecai, in Job the day spring from on high, and the Redeemer, in Psalms, the Lord who is our shepherd, in Proverbs, the wisdom of God, in Song of Solomon, the lover and bridegroom, in Isaiah, the suffering servant, in Jeremiah, in Lamentations, the weeping prophet, in Ezekiel, the son of man, in Daniel, the son of man, coming in the clouds of heaven, in Hosea, the bridegroom, in Joel, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, in Amos, the burden bearer, Obadiah, the mighty Savior, Jonah, the forgiving God, Micah, the messenger with beautiful feet, Nahum, the avenger of God's elect, Habakkuk, the great evangelist crying for revival, Zephaniah, the restorer of the remnant, Haggai, the cleansing fountain, Zechariah, the pierced son, and Malachi, the son of righteousness. I love the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured throughout the Old Testament. But in Isaiah, we're given a few names. We know in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah said that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. But in Isaiah 9, chapter 6, he gives us five names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just quickly this morning, because I know you're probably stressing that the turkey's in the oven, that the roasties have got to be perfect, because this is the one dinner of the year that you cannot mess up, because it is remembered for all eternity. So we'll be quick this morning, but first of all, I want to look at how his name is Wonderful. And again, this is one of about 256 names for Jesus Christ. And this name describes who he is. It describes what he did. He was wonderful in his birth. You think about it, there is no person that has ever lived whose birth has been as wonderful as the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, 2,000 years ago, we're still celebrating that birth today. That birth has changed eternity. That birth has changed time itself. That birth has changed history. That birth has changed our lives, because obviously the Lord would go on to die upon the cross. The birth was wonderful. Those who announced his birth, the angels that were involved, the shepherds, at the temple with Simeon and Anna, and then later on with the wise men. The story last night as we gathered on Christmas Eve and just read the scriptures and sang the carols, you can't help but realize that his birth was wonderful. But not only was his birth wonderful, his life was wonderful. His life was sinless. His enemies could bring no charge against him. Even when they had arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane and they brought him before the Sanhedrin, they could find no fault in him. As they brought him before Pilate, after they had managed to find two witnesses whose stories kind of lined up with a bit of tweaking, when they brought him to Herod, he said, "I find no fault in him," three times. His life was wonderful. The people that he healed, the people that he touched, he received sinners and ate with them. He just changed people's lives. The blind men saw, the deaf heard, the lame spoke, the lame walked, the dumb spoke, the dead were risen. His life was wonderful. You imagine how patient he would have been with people. How many times, if it was us, would we have said to Peter, "Peter, for goodness sake, settle down." But you can just imagine the Lord patiently dealing with the disciples. His life was wonderful. His words were wonderful. They said, "Never a man spake like this man." He spoke in such a way that the common people could understand exactly what he was saying. And he spoke in such a way that even those who were learned in the law had to admit that there was something different about this man. As Nicodemus came and spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ at night, he was just in awe of what the Lord was doing. He was wonderful in his birth and in his life, and he was wonderful in his death. Can you imagine how many people, billions of people, have died since time began? But no death has been like the Lord Jesus Christ, because that death has affected eternity. And it's affected eternity for us, because through his death, our sins can be forgiven and our home heaven. Our names can only be written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Only by us receiving that gift of salvation. His death was something wonderful. He was no martyr. His life wasn't taken from him. He laid down his life for us. But he was wonderful in his resurrection. Because if the Lord had stayed dead upon the cross, then can I say this? Today would be an utter waste of time. Every Sunday that we gather together in church and sing praises to his name and open up the word of God would be a complete waste of time if the Lord Jesus Christ had stayed dead upon the cross. There would be no hope for us if the Lord had remained dead, but he didn't. Because on the third day he rose again, and his resurrection is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. Isaiah 25:1 says, "O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, are faithfulness and truth." How many times have you really needed help with a situation, and you've gone to speak with somebody, and you've had such high expectations and such high hope that this person is gonna give me the answers I need, and you've sat down and they've opened your mouth, and then you've thought that was just utter rubbish. You know, sometimes when people come to me and ask for counsel, I'm so panicked that I say the wrong thing, because it's so easy to give the wrong advice. The first thing I'll always say to people when they come for counsel is, "Look, pray about the situation," because you don't want to say the wrong thing. Because people are resting upon your words, and if you send them down a wrong path, you've got to live with those consequences. But when we go to the Lord for counsel, his counsel is always perfect. That name, his name shall be called Wonderful. It sums him up. His name shall be called Counselor. That sums up who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. I'm thankful it's the Lord that guides us in our lives. I'm thankful that it's the Lord that directs us. You know, Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not on our own understandings. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll what? He will direct our paths. And I'm thankful that we can go to him as the perfect counselor. If we want peace and confidence and wisdom and want to go in the right direction, then we have to seek the Lord's counsel. And the Lord's counsel today would be, if you have yet to trust me as your Savior, if you've yet to trust Christ as your Savior, the Lord's counsel would be, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But his name is not only Wonderful Counselor, his name is the Mighty God. The Mighty God in Hebrew is El Gibor, which means God's strong hero. You know, we live in a day and age where people are fascinated with heroes. How many of you have ever seen a Marvel movie? You don't have to, I've seen loads of them. I like them. Or DC, then who was into DC? The poor relation. Apart from Batman, the DC is the poor relation, I'm sorry. So we're all aware today, perhaps more than the last generation, of, you know, those superheroes of the past. Then we have sporting heroes, people that we look up to. And you know what? Their lives are scrutinized, because as soon as they make a mistake, it's such a big deal, because so many people follow their every move. You know, you can't help but do something wrong now and then. It's put up on all kinds of social media. But God's hero is different. Superman had his kryptonite, as it were, but there's no kryptonite that will affect the Lord Jesus Christ. El Gibor, God's strong hero, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I can say this, is the hero and the king of the universe. That little baby born in Bethlehem, lying helplessly on Mary's bosom, held the whole universe together. All things were made by him. All things were created by him and for him. And there wasn't anything that was made that was not made by and for him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As the Mighty God, he himself overcame difficulties, so that when difficulties arose in our lives, he would enable us to overcome them. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And this looks backwards to the past, to the present, and to the future. He is the Everlasting Father, the Alpha and the Omega. Everlasting reminds us of the permanence that he gives us. You know, we live in a day and age today where there is so much uncertainty. There's uncertainty about tomorrow. We live in a turmoil in this country at the moment because of the uncertainty over the next few years that we have from a constitutional point of view in the UK. There's uncertainty in our lives continuously. But I'm thankful for the fact that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, the Lord brought a certainty into my life. He brought a certainty that I knew that I was saved because he promised me. He brought a certainty into my life that I knew where I would go after this life ends because he has promised me a home in heaven. Everlasting reminds us of the permanence that he gives, the stability that he gives us in an unstable and inconsistent world. And then Father reminds us of his love, of his care, of his protection. He's promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. I love the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples about God, he was able to talk to them about a Father. And that was, you know, that type of concept. It's incredible to think that as a deity, we were able to approach him as a father, to know that he loved us as a father unconditionally. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the first of 25 references in Isaiah of peace. The books of Isaiah and Leviticus are tied for first place, if you like, in the reference to peace among the books of the Bible. And men cry for peace today. You know, that is the one thing that, you know, we at Christmas, we kind of recognize the fact that there should be, what? Peace on earth. That was the proclamation of the angels, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But guess what? We live in a day and age where there is no peace. Was the war to end all wars? First World War. And how many wars have we had since then? It's almost as if the world is continually at war. There are conflicts all over the world. You know, the one thing people talk about, this, somebody new comes to power, what is my goal, what is my mandate, what is my plan? I'll bring peace to the Middle East. There'll never be peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace returns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, we want peace in our lives. Our lives can be filled with turmoil. When we lose a loved one, when things don't go well in work, when we're struggling in school, when we're having difficulties at home, when we're struggling financially, and our lives can be filled with turmoil. There is uncertainty about what tomorrow holds. There's uncertainty over health issues. But can I say this to you? Christ, as the Prince of Peace, can bring a peace into our lives that passes all understanding. The problems and the issues and difficulties are still there, but Christ is able to give a peace that passes understanding. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God because Christ paid our debt upon the cross of Calvary. We can have peace with others because through Christ's strength, he enables us to be patient and forgiving and long-suffering and gentle and kind and generous. We can have peace with ourselves. Because our sins are forgiven, he is able to remove that guilt that we may have been holding on to because of past problems, failures, and mistakes. Can I say this? His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him as your Prince of Peace? Have you accepted him as your Savior, and as a result, he's brought peace into your life that will last for all eternity? That's the only way that we can have peace with God, is by trusting Christ as our Savior. The whole purpose of him coming to this earth, the whole reason that we celebrate this time of year, is because he came to be born specifically so that he could die upon the cross, so that our sins could be forgiven and our home could be heaven. You know, I love watching the kids come up the front, and I was a bit disappointed this year there was no Nerf guns, but there we are. We had the wibble wobble ball that kind of made up for the Nerf guns. But, you know, I love watching the kids and seeing what toys they had and, you know, what gifts they had. And as I said last night, you know, sometimes, you know, there is that, you know, we're always striving for that perfect gift. But can I say this? The gift of eternal life, which comes through trusting Christ as our Savior, is the perfect gift. And what an incredible day to receive that gift today on Christmas, the day that we celebrate the Lord's birth, the day that we celebrate the one who came to give us that gift. I'm thankful that I know him as my Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning, and thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we just pray now that you would continue to bless our time together. You bless our day, Lord, as we remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior, Lord. Again, we thank you so much for those who have come today, Lord, and we just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts as we reflect upon all that you are and all that you've done for us. And we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, before we close with our last carol this morning, anybody with a Christmas jumper who would like to come forward, we've got our Christmas jumper competition. So if you've got a Christmas jumper on, you'd like to come forward. Don't all rush at once. Awesome. Oh, hang on, there's a big reveal coming up. On the naughty list. Oh, hang on. Come on, buddy. Oh, hang on. Let's leave the wibble wobble bobble ball a minute. Okay. Anybody else coming out? There are a couple of those too scared to come up there and have a couple of honourable mentions. Come on, Esther. Okay, all right. Oh, yes. I've already got a winner. Okay, so we'll start across then with, we'll go from our right to your left. So we'll start with Charlotte. Do you have a clap moment there, Charlotte? Excellent.